What's up? What's up? Welcome back to the Caleb Shambly Show. This is now episode 5. Guest, please introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Aditya here.
Hello, this is Leo Lee.
Yeah, so we got both guests returning from last week's show. They just loved it so much that they wanted to come back. So we're going to be here discussing the week, playing some music, answering any questions you may have. Kicking it off, opening thoughts. For tonight, we had a great slate of NFL football today. I had a four-leg parlay that was very close to hitting. I had the Jets plus 13.5 against the Ravens. The Ravens won by 13, so that hit. I had the Falcons money line over the Saints. They won, so that hit. I had the Jaguars minus 3 against, who the heck were they playing? They were playing a pretty terrible team, I remember. And it was the team with Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, anyways, they won in overtime by 3, so that barely hit. I'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about the Pats in a second. But heartbreakingly, I had the Eagles minus 3, which was, I thought, a lock against the Cowboys. So you got an 8-2 team against like a 3-7 team, minus 3? Are you kidding me? And the Eagles didn't even win that game. It came down to the wire. They were up 21-0 at some point, right? And then ended up losing. Cardinals, that's right. Let's get to the Patriots game. We won again. It was our 8th consecutive win, or 9th? I don't know. I think 9th, actually, against the Cincinnati Bengals. But I'm going to be honest, it did not look like a very promising win. Pretty upsetting losing two of the key offensive linemen this year who have been playing extremely well, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson out of the University of Georgia. That's devastating. That's going to have a major impact on the season. Both of them have been, like I said, playing very well, and we're going to miss them down the stretch. I will say, though, up until this point, the Patriots have not only had a very easy schedule, but also had very few injuries, which is something that I guess is kind of catching up to them now. It's inevitable in this league that you're going to have injuries at one point or another. So happy we got the win. A little concerned going forward. I think next week we got the Giants. That should hopefully be an easy win. And then after that, Bills, Ravens. We got some tough games, and then we're going to be in the playoffs. Question is not if we're in the playoffs, it's about where we're going to be. Are we going to get the bye? Are we going to have home field? And who are we going to play? And I'm not loving our odds in the first round after this performance. Drake May was not great. We lost some key pieces. Also, Milton Williams has been out for a while. We really missed him today in the run game against a pretty banged-up Bengals offense. But that's all I got for football. I know we do this segment every week. But guys, do you have any thoughts, any opening thoughts?
I guess that's just a shame for you, man. I was really cheering for you and for your parlay.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Appreciate it. It's okay. It happens. I'll get them next time.
Yeah.
Leo? Say that.
I personally don't watch that much of sports.
No, it doesn't have to be sports related.
Just yeah, I know, but like I got no comments on that. I guess.
Right. Cool. We'll switch up the topic. I'm just gonna check the.
Quickly, shout out to Nishesh who's listening to
shout
us currently.
Nishesh, yeah.
Great. Welcome.
Absolutely. Also, shout out to Jacob and Arham, both of whom are listening to the show. I believe it's Jacob's first time listening, so welcome to the Caleb Shambly Show.
Yeah, and also, I believe there's a secret listener in China, which is my middle school friend. He was on last time, so he's also on this time, so.
Oh, so not so secret now, huh?
Yeah.
No, not that much, but.
What time is it there?
Like 2 p.m. in the afternoon, so
wow.
It's pretty chill.
Yeah, awesome. So we got, again, well, this time we don't have Valentin tuning in from Argentina, but we still have We still have, oh, Sam Levy also, first time tuning in. Thanks, Sam. Awesome, awesome. So we got at least 5 listeners. It's a pretty high number, plus all the people out and about in the world who don't know me personally. I'm sure there's several dozen out there in the streets of Medford who just happen to like the sound of my voice and are tuning in on this beautiful Monday night. Cool. So, yeah, again, we can get to some questions. Talk about Thanksgiving coming up. Who doesn't love Thanksgiving, you know? That's a fun time. Also, I'll do a quick station identification. Can't forget that. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio. That was my radio voice. Let me know how you feel about that. Oh, wow, we got even more. So, yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up. Very excited about that. Here at Tufts, we have 2 days of classes left, tomorrow and Tuesday. Lots of people are already gone, though, which is... It's a good choice because you want to get a full week off. And in the spring, we have spring break. We don't really have one of those in this semester, so it's a fair choice. But unfortunately, I didn't really have that option as I have a presentation on Tuesday afternoon. So I'm going to be here until the end, pretty much. I don't know about you guys. Let's see. We got some action going on here.
Low-key, me too. I'm going to be here, I'm thinking until the end of Tuesday, so later than most people.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but you gotta remember, we're so close. Normally, it would be 5 full days until the weekend. Now we just got 2.
Yep. And it's
a long effing... I can say effing. I can't say effing. I can say effing, but not... you know. So, Yeah, 5-day weekend. Everybody's going to catch up on sleep. I'm still going to be doing some... projects, probably applying to internships to make the most of the time, of course, because gotta stay efficient, you know. Yeah, we can get to a PSA now, and I'll let the questions trickle in for anybody, any of the 3 of us here. Yeah, I can't say that word, unfortunately, the F word or any swear for that matter, because it does actually violate FCC policy, and we take that extremely seriously here at WMFO. So you can say effing, that's totally fine as far as I know, so we'll stick to that. Frickin' is fine as well, so hopefully that's okay with all the listeners out there.
Alright, yeah.
I did this one last time, we're not gonna do that. Oh, this one's way too long. So I know you can't tell what I'm doing. I'm just flipping through this binder of public service announcements. I'm legally required to do one every show. These are all so boring, though. I wanted to do a fun one. You know? How about dried fruit PSA? That's a good one. Alright, looking for some sweet, great-tasting snacks that are also healthy for you. Try eating dried fruits. Dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh, so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, preservatives, and other ingredients, but no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or a processed snack. Yeah, so that's your public service announcement. Wholeheartedly agree with that. Totally fan of dried fruits. They got those dried mangoes at Trader Joe's. Have you guys ever had those?
Yeah,
they're fantastic.
No, they're fabulous.
I would prefer frozen mangoes.
Frozen
mangoes?
I mean, hey.
Yeah, or any kinds of frozen
fruit. That works too.
Y'all ever tried frozen grapes?
No, I don't think so.
Well, why didn't you just get fresh grapes?
Well, frozen, like, they become hard on the outside and, like, sort of, like, squishy on the inside. And it's apparently, like, a good texture.
Yeah, it might be a way, but it's... Okay, I just want to move closer to the microphone.
Sounds good, Leo.
Yeah, so there you go. Make sure you're eating your dried fruits. I guess wet fruits, just fruits.
Frozen fruits?
Frozen fruits. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are they called wet fruits if they're not dry? I don't think so. I think you just call them fruits, but that's besides the point. Yeah, any kind of fruits is definitely good for you. Make sure you're eating that over other sources of sugar. Yeah, cool. Let's see, what do we got here? Sorry, I've been kind of... I missed some questions here. Let me get to that. Oh, big, great question by Arham. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food? This is for all of us. Let me start. I think I got to go with... Oh, that's a tough one. So if we're including desserts, I think I'm going to go pumpkin pie. But if we're not including desserts, I think mashed potatoes, butter...
With gravy?
Yes, Leo.
Oh, my gosh. I was just trying to say that. Okay, yeah. So you don't know how this thing hits me, like how bad this thing actually hits me. So, okay, as you guys know, I grew up in China. And in China, we have a bunch of KFC. And KFC seemed to be a pretty much mediocre food in the U.S. But in China, because it entered like pretty early, back then we never had this kind of fast fried chicken before. So it's been a big hit. And they always had this mashed potato with gravy that tastes like identical. That's one of their like authentic American food they're having. Like KFC in China has been like changing throughout time. For now, it's more looking like a domesticated restaurant instead of an American one. But the mashed potato is the only thing that is like, or only few things that still keeps the originality. But still, it's just like this kind of taste just rooted deep in my mind. Until I had that once again at the Thanksgiving feast at DeWick. So, yeah, it's just... I don't know how to say that. I mean, probably you guys like grew up eating this, but for me, it's different. Just imagine you grew up eating a special kind of Chinese food, then you have it by accident again at the dining hall.
No, that's me.
Oh, wait.
Honestly, like on special occasions like Thanksgiving and things like that, We'll go to our favorite Chinese restaurant nearby. Honestly, I'm gonna be butchering this, but I believe it's of Sichuan cuisine. It's like spicy with like those peppercorns. It's like so good.
Oh, I know.
So honestly, it's so funny that we sort of in a way had like flipped childhoods growing up in terms of cuisine. Like on special occasions, I was eating Chinese food, and on special occasions, we were eating American food.
Yeah. Very fascinating stuff.
And also, pretty interestingly, I also grew up eating Papa John's and Subway. I'm not even joking. Like, they sort of started their expansion, like, sometime around 2010s. And they used to have a pretty nice sort of, got a lot of customers buying their food. But it's just, at some point, they started to decline gradually, unfortunately. And for now, what's... the biggest pizza brand in China would be Domino's, although they're making a completely different type of pizza in China. It's tasting kind of weird. It's like not authentic pizza, but it's still like
I got a question on that.
Uh-huh.
So I think you might have mentioned this last time.
Yeah, I probably did. There's a special flavor of Papa John's that you will never get in the U.S., but it's like available in China that tastes like Big Mac flavored.
Yep, you did mention that.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. That's I still miss that.
And just overall, how did the... fast food chains like Papa John's compare in China versus U.S.?
Let me tell you the truth. Okay, so we have Subway. Subways in the U.S. are similar, I think 90% similar to Subway in China. That's why, that's also kind of like why Subway eventually failed pretty bad, because Chinese people just eventually realized they're not good with sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And we also have KFC and McDonald's, but just to mention that KFCs and McDonald's in Asia are 100 times better than American ones.
Yep.
I'm kind of feeling sorry for you guys not like having that kind of thing. Because like I think McDonald's in China, they have specialized food like almost every quarter of a year.
Is that right if I interject real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that, because I went to Europe a couple years ago with some of these listeners here, and they said something very similar about McDonald's being significantly better there. So I guess McDonald's here is just
sucks.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And if I interject here real quick, based upon my experience in India, actually, I'll say that KFC and McDonald's there is just so much better than the food
here.
Very interesting. Like it's honestly treated as like, you know, like as a special treat. You know, like if your kid gets like an A+ on a math test, you go to McDonald's. Whereas here, I feel like that's not really...
It's the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, it's just kind of sad to see that. It might be a bigger reason behind this, but anyways, we got, like, other food in the U.S., like... well, honestly, Do we want to expand more on the food for tonight? Since we already got to
yeah,
this
please.
Place,
I think they're enjoying
I can
it.
Share some personal sort of insights about the food in the U.S. because it's such a big topic to talk about.
What's
you know, like for most of the Chinese international students, that's from my view, 80% of them are struggling making food for themselves because they think like food in the U.S. is like not friendly to them. They don't like it. So they have to learn or somehow manage to make food for themselves. Like you could always order it from a Chinese restaurant, but it would be just way too expensive. You can't live on that. So yeah. Most of them, or like I would say at least 40% of them, the biggest thing they learn from this studying abroad is that they actually learn how to cook. It's like definitely a good thing to learn about, but also it just feels kind of sad because think about that. Once you got to a place that you couldn't speak their language pretty well. Also, what's even worse is that you couldn't have like food that sort of satisfies your
soul.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, that's a big lie. Yeah. So, but anyways, it's just a random insight of me, but which is true. It's super true.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Honestly, I've got to say that that's quite a shame, and I really wish there were more authentic Chinese places that were cheaper for you guys. But I feel like this is a controversial opinion, but I feel like cooking is not. No. Like for what I'm about to say, I don't think what you said is controversial at all.
Oh, okay, never mind.
What I'm about to say is, like, in my opinion, I feel like basic cooking is not difficult whatsoever.
No.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree? Okay,
yeah,
maybe
I agree
it's
with
not
that.
So controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basic cooking, especially under the industrialized sort of food supply chain in the U.S., it's super easy, which I like
this
it.
This is going to get a lot of people upset that you said that.
Oh, really?
Maybe you should apologize.
Well, honestly, if you just go to a random grocery, you see how much of this pre-made food we got, right? And also, they're good. They're tasting good. And that's why, like, I got confused by a lot of, like, reactions of the international students. Why are they reacting like we got no good food in the U.S.? Like, all the good foods are just in the grocery stores.
Bingo.
And also, like, local restaurants. Like, that's just something. It's super common. I just don't get it. Maybe probably because I grew up eating Domino's, Papa John's, and Subway. No, these are like seriously few of my deepest sort of childhood memory. And okay, let me expand on it more. So like I think around sometimes like 2010s in China from Papa John's, you can get this pizza dumpling thing. It's like a pizza, but like all the toppings became stuffing inside
the
dumpling.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so good.
Fusion.
But they just sort of canceled that thing for some reason. I never had that after.
Steamed, though?
Like oh, it's still roasted or baked.
Oh, baked?
Yeah, like good. Pizza dumpling baked pizza.
Okay.
It's still like
so it's
a
like
pizza.
It's like a Chinese calzone, essentially.
No. It's like all those toppings are like Italian. It's actually, I think it is like somehow from an Italian way of dealing with these pizza stuff.
Okay.
So that's why they have this. Like the dumpling is referring to the shape, not like the dumpling thing. It's like they shape the pizza in the dumpling. And the toppings become like... I can't search for pictures. I think they still exist on the internet. It's just... I loved it so much. It just like tasting very different when you're having like a super concentrated stuffing instead of like the topping. So.
Well, that's nice, man. I'm happy you were able to share those memories with us.
Yeah, big time. Well, and just for those listening along at home or on the go... just go. Feel free to look up. What is it? What would they look up?
Okay, it's something look like that.
Like
Should
I tell them to look up like dumpling pizza or something?
Yeah, it's like that.
Just go ahead and look
man,
up dumpling
that
pizza.
Looks
you
almost
just,
exactly
yeah.
like a calzone.
We'll
a calzone. Maybe that's the thing. It's just they name it differently. Yeah. But that thing like only happened like more than 10 years ago. Probably will never be back.
So fun stuff. Apparently, we just lost a listener, which is...
Who?
Can
you actually see how many people are listening?
No, I'm hearing here.
Okay.
They want us to talk about politics.
Oh. What kind of politics you guys want to hear?
Mondami and Trump. Mondami
oh,
and Trump.
That was a very interesting interaction.
I didn't see it. I don't think I...
So, I can explain it to the best of my ability.
Please.
And now this is only after a cursory glance at the news, but essentially from what I understand, Mamdani visited Trump at the White House, and he was acting very polite and very, you know, like, reserved almost. And Trump almost completely opposite from what we expected, was acting super nice to him, like extraordinarily nice. In fact, one of the reporters asked Mamdani right in front of Trump, perhaps it was a provocative question, like, do you still consider Trump a fascist? And Mamdani started stammering. And then Trump was like, oh, it's okay. Mamdani, you can say it. And then he was like, oh, okay. And so that's just like a small snippet from their conversation. And it seems almost bizarre that he's just being so nice to him when almost politically they're like completely the opposite.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I've noticed this before with Trump. Very rare occasions, like he would like go and start talking crazy about Obama and then sees him in person at the Jimmy Carter's funeral and then starts laughing and joking with him. It's like, I wonder what the reason is. Yeah, there's not really any chance that he's gonna get so close to him that he can gain power over him. Is that the goal? Because I don't think there's any chance that happens. Maybe he...
I honestly doubt.
Not to get political, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the reason. So, like, I don't know. Maybe he just, deep down, he wants to be liked or something.
Perhaps. And honestly, there was this meme going around where I believe today he was seen being... Trump was seen being slightly more fashionable than usual. And everyone was wondering, where did this inspiration come from? And then they actually looked at Mamdani's outfit from last week, and it was almost exactly the same.
Yeah, that's what they mentioned in here. That is really strange. What's going on with this guy?
My personal theory, hypothesis, whatever you'd say, and this could be controversial, so I apologize in advance, is that politics is honestly just a bunch of theatrics. You know, like behind the scenes, I doubt anyone really hates each other as much as... They seem like they do over television. So, as we saw with Trump and Obama, like at the funeral, I feel like no two politicians really really despise each other that much behind the scenes.
Sure. If they want us to talk about the Epstein files.
Oh God.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's interesting.
But we haven't got to see the entire like sort of file, right? It's not released yet, so we will wait, right? Probably next week.
They're really upset with that, how controversial that take is, I gotta say.
My apologies, viewers, my apologies.
No, but to the Epstein files, let's talk about Larry Summers, right? Because this guy...
Oh, okay.
This guy, he was, I believe, the president of Harvard at some point, and up until, I think, just like a couple weeks ago, he was still teaching classes
at
Harvard. And this hits near and dear to my heart, because that's in the city of Cambridge, where I happen to be from and grow up. So this guy's walking around my streets, you know, being like a terrible, you know, can I say that? Probably not. Just like a really bad person in general, and that kind of like startles me a little bit, you know?
Wait, have you been seeing this guy around? That's the real question.
I mean, I honestly...
Probably.
I didn't know of him until recently, to be honest, but it's a small... Well,
it is.
It's somewhat small comparatively to other places, so there's a chance. I feel like there's somewhat of a chance that I've seen him around, and like he maybe gave me like a weird look or something. I don't know.
Like, interesting.
Like that type of guy. I don't want to speculate too much.
Not to be confused with Larry Bacow, by the chance. By the way, like ex president of both Tufts and Harvard. That guy, he'll be remembered as a good president of Tufts.
Yes, absolutely not the same person. We just want to be clear. We don't think all Larrys are the same. Yeah, definitely not. A lot of good Larrys out there in this world. Yeah, for sure. Thoughts on Robert Kraft? For those of you who don't know, Robert Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots. He is... here's my quick thoughts on him. I think he wants too much credit for the dynasty, whereas... he played a very small role. He hired Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick was involved in the process of getting Tom Brady, and Tom Brady contributed to, I would argue, over 90% of the team's success in that era. And now, granted, we are having success again for in a very small amount of time, so it's hard to say this really means anything at all, but in terms of the dynasty, the six Super Bowl championships, I give almost all the credit to Brady, and I think Kraft and Belichick, mostly Belichick, but also Kraft, both are kind of looking for too much of the credit there, and I don't want to give it to them. I mean, owners in general, like, you can't have that much of an impact on winning in that league, in any league. So, yeah, I mean, it's natural. That's what he does for a living. It's natural for him to want some credit there. And I think he's a decent owner. He's like, seems like an okay guy. I don't know. He's had some streaks in the past few years, hasn't been spending as much. That definitely upset some people, but he got back into it, spent a lot of money, and helped sign some guys in free agency in this last year. Oh, man, my phone's blowing up. This might be getting some backlash. Oh. I don't know. But
we got a lot of feedbacks.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of other Larrys listed. Larry David, Larry Bird, all good guys, just to be clear.
Love Larry Bird.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely don't discriminate against Larrys. It's just this, I know maybe we said that in such a way where it might have sounded that way, but we weren't talking about Larrys in general. We were talking about Larry Summers, just to be clear. If any Larrys are out there listening, just so you know, like, yeah, definitely nothing against you just because of that.
Yes, guess Larry Summers is not so summery, huh?
Oh, the question is, was he in the files? I thought I saw some. Oh, wow. Oh, I don't think he. I didn't see that. I don't think he was. That would have helped me. Go ahead.
I mean, like, just a disclaimer, we are not Epstein file experts by any chance.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. So definitely don't take legal advice on this. Yeah. If you happen to be involved in that or anything. Hopefully you're not. But yeah, for sure.
That you wanted.
Well, okay, so apparently Jeffrey Epstein compared himself to Patriots owner Robert Kraft. I don't think that's necessarily incriminating.
I mean, what do we think about Kraft mac and cheese?
I'm a huge fan of Kraft mac and cheese.
Honestly, not bad comfort food, but
yeah, I think it's probably just a little bit better than Annie's, which is really the question. Like, it's
what?
Around. No?
Isn't Annie's better?
Well, it's an opinion. I don't. It's a hot take. That's what we're doing here.
Interesting.
You know,
I think that is a hot take.
I don't know. Let me know if you agree in the comments. We'll just call it the comment section, I guess. Diggs and Cardi. Yeah, I mean, I think they're a good fit. I don't think either of them are probably good people. Yeah.
I mean, sure. Do we remember that, like, that Diff's Diggs interview where they were interviewing members from his team.
Yep, and they all said he's the worst guy on the team. So that says a lot about his character. I think the other stuff about Cardi B is probably pretty well known. And then you had in the off season Stefon Diggs dancing on a boat with a pink bag of drugs. So that wasn't good. But anyways, top three comfort foods. Everybody, you guys go ahead. Top three comfort foods.
For us?
Yeah, yeah.
Top three comfort food.
Okay. I'll
you go first, maybe.
Buffalo wings, and this is controversial, but they've gotta be boneless. Mac and cheese, maybe both of them together. And let's see, for the third one, let's go with, I'm not sure if this is comfort food, but perhaps one of the most comforting things I've ever had was just this lobster roll, super fresh lobster roll in just Bar Harbor, Maine. Like, that stuff was amazing.
I think that counts. If you get comfort, it's comfort food.
So here's the very truth, that I eventually developed a way that I could sort of eat all kinds of food. And after I had that, I don't really have a comfort food anymore. But I think if there's one, it's going to probably be braised pork over rice.
Oh, wow.
Taiwanese braised pork over rice. Taishi lu rou fan. It's super good. And if there's a second one coming up, I would give it to some kinds of Chinese stir fry with, like, authentic rice. That's really important. I never had, like, a lot of authentic rice from the wick, from Tubbs. They're making, like, weird stuff. Although it tastes, like, okay, but it's just not authentic. And the third one, it's not like a food, it's like a drink. All kinds of bubble teas, all kinds of beverages.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, that you can get from China.
Yeah.
But what I'm actually talking about is boba teas in China are much more fancier. Yeah, and also like fruit teas. Because basically they were originated from Asia. So
really?
Well, yeah, Taiwan like invented this thing in the 80s, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that should be correct.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, there is a similar sort of fruit milk sort of beverage like from South America that also made its way here. But I believe South America and Asia are the two like cultural contributors in the fruit milk sort of realm of things.
By the way, I just want to address something. There's a comment out there that says I've never had a boba tea. That's absolutely not true. I'm a huge advocate. I've probably had several dozen in my lifetime. I mean, they are a little bit pricey, but I like to treat myself with one once in a while. So I just want to dispel that notion for sure.
Highly, highly controversial, but I think the milk tea is far better by itself than with the boba. I do like a boba once in a while, but the milk tea is just miles better.
I would agree with that. The essence is the taste from milk, and you really need good tea to make a good milk tea.
Yeah,
and the boba only adds to like the texture, chewy sort of texture.
For whatever reason, I just love that.
It's kind of like
I just love chewing on them.
You can basically add boba to anything you want just to create the chewing effect. But
I mean, the tea is definitely a main component. And the milk tea.
Are you actually getting good tea?
It's like
it's a question. It's questionable.
Yeah, there's this place in Central Square I used to go a lot.
Uh-huh.
I forget what it was called.
Don't tell me it's Gongcha. Gongcha is way too mediocre.
It wasn't. It's like a small business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were the real deal. They had some really good stuff. Yeah. It was expensive, but it was delicious.
There's the very fact that Gongcha basically it's like also like started first time in China, but they sort of gone extinct because they just sucked and they basically disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of their tea as well, but
It's just mediocre.
Like, man, their pumpkin like fall beverage, that stuff was so good.
Honestly, that's Americanized.
It is American.
Yeah, pumpkin spice is only something native to North America.
I'll admit it.
You know
only
what?
Native too.
It's good. Right? Maybe Canada too. While we're at it.
It's good to blend the best things from different cultures.
Yeah.
And then you can have a great. I don't know what's so funny in here, but.
Wait, are we getting any interesting comments?
They're just wondering what this place in Central Square is called.
You should share.
A small business. I don't know why. It was. They've probably never been there.
I'm gonna show you guys. It's Japanese food.
I don't think it's.
Have you had this kind of fried pork chop?
Oh, like I've like had that. The pork chop.
Look at that.
Chicken,
look at that.
Like that style of chicken and yeah. It's so good.
Honestly. Wow. Yeah, this is a really nice Japanese place. Like, it's a chain in China, although, like, it's not originally from Japan, but it's just so good.
Yeah, man, you've got to take us on, like, a food tour around Chinatown someday.
Well, honestly, I will, because I do know a lot of places. Yeah, one day, probably. But I got to choose, like, super carefully, because a lot of them are actually still bad in quality. And also, like, if you want to get some fine dining, it's going to be super pricey, so that's the cost.
We're okay. We're falling out of college student budget.
Caleb, I think I took you to a Chinese restaurant during the summer, right? In Austin.
Oh, yeah. That place, that was really good. It had the...
Yeah, they had the stir-fry frog, bullfrog.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was actually delicious. And that had been a place I'd always...
Which
been...
you probably did not have in. Or did you?
No,
have...
I did.
Oh, you did? How was that?
It was really good.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of tasted like...
Chicken.
Yeah. But, like, the seasoning was fantastic.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too spicy and salty, what was fortunately.
It was pretty salty.
Yeah,
but,
it
mean,
made it pretty
I
bad.
I like salt.
yeah. It's just over-seasoning, over-saltiness. That's the two bad parts of Chinese food.
But what was sometimes. That, like, the spice where it kind of made your tongue numb?
Oh, huajiao, I know. It's like a special pepper.
Wait, was it the Sichuan pepper?
One? Yeah, Sichuan pepper.
That's I love that.
Or you can just call it huajiao. I think this kind of thing. So in Chinese, it's called huajiao.
Huajiao?
Like jiao, right?
Jiao?
Yeah, jiao. Huajiao. Huajiao deserves its own name, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was really...
Not Sichuan pepper. We have... It's not, like, native... Not even native to Sichuan. It's basically native to, like... I think... Wait, actually, it is. It's just native to all parts of southern China. Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's delicious. I highly recommend it for those who've never had it. It's a whole new experience.
We're not
we don't really have a lot of it unless you go to some really authentic places, you don't see a lot of it here in the U.S. as far as I know. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. So trying to get me to say something for $5, well, $10 maybe. All right, what else do we have? Favorite flavor of boba tea? I like the oolong.
Oolong is fire.
Yeah.
I've honestly never had oolong.
You should try.
I'm sort of a basic type of guy. You know, I like pumpkin spice. I like, I like, what's it called? I like taro. I like,
that's good.
I like classic brown sugar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I'm just like basic like that.
Yeah, in many ways, we're all basic, right?
Can you explain?
Yeah, because think about that. Oolong tea is super basic to me. I have it every day when I was back in China, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, just we just share different parts of the world in the sense of food. So, like, something that might seem to be fancy, like, I would say American food or pizza, it's a treat in China. It could also be a treat here, but...
Right.
Okay, so this happened back in my middle school. You know how traditional Chinese middle school, like, worked. And also, I'm pretty sure I'm having this secret listener. We went to the same middle school. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to get any harsh comments on my middle school, but probably he will. Never mind. Whenever we have a special event held by the school, like a special festival, school festival, like, at the end of it, so in China, we have this form class, and then each form class is assigned to a teacher. And this teacher, like, that person just will order us, like, some treats, like boba tea and pizza, Domino's pizza.
Wow.
Although Domino's, like, taste kind of, like, different, but still, like, to us, pizza means something not basic, right? Although it's super basic. Like, you can get it almost all the time from Zwick. It's nothing, but in... back in
dining hall, by the way.
Yeah.
That's true, but if I could, I would argue that in elementary school, it's actually a different experience. And now, Kayla,
yeah.
I'm not sure if you'd reciprocate,
agree.
But
yeah.
Like every time we'd have pizza parties in school.
Yeah, it's not a common thing to get pizza in school.
Even if it was like just like the tiny slivers of slices, we were ever so grateful to have in
Absolutely
school.
Stoked.
Shout out my past teachers.
Yeah, I'll shout out like a few of them, but definitely not. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'll shout out my past teachers too. And they're great. I'm not gonna start listing names. They know who they are. Cool. Any other comments here? We got. That's a really interesting perspective. See, the thing is, it's hard for me to tell what people are talking about when they say this stuff because there is like a 15 or 20 second delay. So I appreciate the feedback, but harder to communicate. Any thoughts, Leo?
Okay, my friend back in China, he just texted me that I should comment on the chicken nuggets back in my middle school's dining hall.
Ooh.
Well, I did not remember having that thing pretty common, but honestly, it's just the same nuggets that you can get from McDonald's, so it's nothing. It's
middle schoolers they might as well be the same everywhere.
No, yeah, but here's the interesting thing. I went to a middle school that is known for having a good dining hall, but, well, yeah, they do have, like, pretty decent food, and, like... I would say in many ways is decent. Wait. So, the listener from China, do you want to get me to comment on more on our middle school? Okay, just a little bit of Chinese.
Yeah,
to make sure he
fine.
Understands
that'd
everything.
Fine.
Okay. I mean, I can leave this to you all. I'll wait for him to reply.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about some other stuff. Let's see. What do we have recently? Recent events. What do we got? This weekend, I went home to Cambridge, Massachusetts. My childhood home.
Love Cambridge.
Yeah. Great place.
Nice.
I watched some football. Went to sleep. Slept a lot. I ate some. Indian food last night.
Ooh.
What was it called? This place in Central Square. It was only okay. The place near our house, they transitioned to like a vegan restaurant, so we stopped eating from there. Something Palace.
Well,
anyways, yeah, I had chicken tikka masala, vegetable samosas, garlic naan. I would give it like a 5.5 out of 10. Like, it was pretty solid. Not great, not terrible. Yeah. We got to find a new place. That's really upsetting with that. I don't know what got into them. They used to be great. No, it was not Indian Pavilion. Your veganism. Hey, listen.
Oh, hot take.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, let's have Leo talk.
No, wait. I thought you were gonna say something that is a hot take.
Well, here's my take on veganism. I respect veganism. It's just like, you know, you have to have the mindset that this is like a really deep, honestly, deep and controversial topic. Maybe it wasn't meant this way, but like, you have to have the mindset that animals have like a particular moral worth. I mean, and that's like kind of subjective when it boils down to it, I guess. Like, you could debate it, I guess. I'm not going to bring up names, guys, please. So, yeah, when it really boils down to it, there's a lot of issues like this where people are really divided, and it really is kind of divisive. If you're on one side of it, it's hard to kind of have respect for people on the other side of it. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a tough issue overall. It's definitely worth putting some thought into, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
If I could give my 2 cents as someone who I feel like I'm like at quite like at the very middle of this divide. I feel like in middle school, I think I told Caleb this earlier, but I actually almost went vegan, and the only reason I didn't was just because my mom just wasn't willing to like help me out with like vegan cooking. And then I guess since then I've had the thoughts, and I still feel morally divided. You know, I feel like overall the system isn't great to animals, like just objectively, but at the same time, there's the system is just so reliant on them, and life, unfortunately, it's just so much easier if you aren't vegan.
Yeah, pretty much. I tend to agree with that. Let's see, what else we got? No, we're not doing that. Yeah, Leo, you want to say something?
There is a question from my friend in China.
Please.
It's pretty much diverting all of us to a completely different topic.
Go for it. Yeah
and also like, so it's, it, he just said, what is, like, the perspective or the opinion from your middle school and high school about like getting into this, okay, honestly it's kind of hard to translate, getting into like, what's their opinion of their students getting into like romantic relationship?
Okay.
And also like, is there any regulations on it?
Yeah.
Like if something bad, like what are the things that they wanted to not happen in between these people?
There was a lot of drama in my school system, so I could speak a little bit about this. I would say, for sure, dating started in middle school. Maybe serious dating started in high school, but people did start to date in middle school. And I would say, I feel like overall culturally, I guess it just depends on the parent, really. I feel like a lot of the decisions are left to the caretakers, and I feel like the opinion of most guardians is just like high school dating is fine, and that like below that is like iffy. But yeah, I don't know, Caleb, if you could speak to it.
In terms of regulations, I don't think there were really any at my school. In my school system, some of the listeners are, they prefer to be called MFs, I guess. They also went to these schools. I don't think there were any regulations.
There's no, and also there shouldn't be any. My friend in China, he's only asking this because we had regulations.
Yeah, that's definitely a really
which is a bad thing.
Difference. I mean, I probably tend to agree that regulations are not good in that area.
Well,
go ahead.
I would just say that, like, I think I think friendships for sure should be allowed across all genders at any grade point. But like I could imagine, you know, like maybe making rules of like no PDA in middle school. I feel like that would be strange.
In terms of PDA, that'd be a no here also. I think like in general that should not be really acceptable. I think it's generally not socially acceptable. I think it would make sense to have some regulations if that is something that people were doing. But yeah, there weren't any real regulations on relationships, which is, yeah, like you said, is a good thing. Allows people to get out there and explore. I'll just leave it at that.
I guess just the obligatory, like, there were regulations between, like, age difference, which I feel like is important.
Yes.
Should be important.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. You don't want to have a... Okay, yeah.
Well, so
we
the,
talked
so
about
was,
that.
What are your thoughts on why there were these regulations and, like...
It's a sad question in the first place. And I think, like, I had this conversation where, like, I somehow just talked this thing to both of you that in China, like in colleges, we had a different, completely different social atmosphere that guys only hang out with guys and girls, like they just sort of kind of inclusive or repulsive.
Oh.
Like it's like, how do I say that? Like guys and girls, they just have friend groups.
Yeah, like,
that is purely made up of,
yeah,
not like mixed, like in the US. You won't be able to see a lot of guys and girls sitting together, having a dinner together, like while all being friends with each other. So it's super unfortunate, but here's the interesting thing. Dating still seems to be going pretty normal in China. There are still like so many couples you can see around the campus. Just probably they just get to know each other through online. Also, like, they chat more often through online instead of like in-person thing. And also, what makes this kind of mixed gender friend group kind of like a not common thing is that it's probably only a cultural difference that if you're having a girlfriend as a guy, you probably shouldn't talk to any other girls or shouldn't make any other like female friends. That's a no to a lot of Chinese girls, which I don't agree with. That's why I'm here. That's
I feel like that is something that from people of all cultures, I feel like there's controversy regarding that. In my opinion, people in any relationship should be allowed to have friends outside of it. There should be an element of trust.
Yeah, and also speaking on the regulations we're having, it's actually a way of managing people, right? Or think about that. Like, we not only have regulations or Chinese middle and high schools, we not only have regulations made by school, we also have the regulations from the parents that, like, most of the Chinese parents, they're like sort of make sure that all of their kids are not getting into any kind of like romantic friendship or romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, no,
to want to make sure that they're focusing on academics. But these two things doesn't contradict a lot, although
this might be
it doesn't
an
make any sense.
Sorry. This is a big overgeneralization, but that sentiment is very much alive in India and many Indian expat families here in the U.S. Just to, you know, like, prohibit or just really discourage, like, dating until, like, you're an adult, I'd say.
Yeah, it might be, a common thing among the entire Asia, or, like, among most of the developing countries. That's my explanation to it. And also, speaking of sort of managing people, I think here I'm going to get this a little bit more political, but also like only political in China. Like, this kind of talk wouldn't be legally broadcasted in China, but definitely here's U.S.
Well,
I can comment on anything on Chinese
in
government.
China.
And also, like, for the person who's listening in China, just, okay, don't tell me it was me. Don't tell others it was me, all right? Or I'll be caught, like, at the costume. Okay.
Turn off the radio.
No. All right, so, yeah. So the point is, actually, a lot of Chinese higher education institutions, they serve an important role of stabilizing the society. Yeah, they got people enrolled, and also they control those really how do I say that, exciting and also like activist. No, not like activist, but what is the adjective for like being an activist?
Like politically motivated.
Oh yeah, and also progressive sometimes. Students, like safe. They want to keep these students safe. They want to make sure that they don't get some sort of social movement happening. That's what happened like in the late 80s. And I guess you guys all know what happened. And ever since then, the Chinese government started to realize that it's probably better to expand on college and get more people recruited. No, like enrolled and control them better. And like I said, all of the regulations we just talked about is part of this management or part of this like control. Wait, that's all. I haven't gotten into any real bad things that I shouldn't say, but it's fine.
That's okay. Definitely a really interesting perspective. Thanks for sharing that. Hopefully everything's okay with...
Stay safe out there.
I'm sure it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Let's see. We got... Yeah, Arham and Jacob are saying, I think that sentiment is pretty common for immigrant parents, which I guess, yeah, both of them have immigrant parents, so that's also an interesting perspective to hear that as well. Yeah, so we're going to be wrapping up here in about 4 minutes. It's been a heck of a ride. We've only played one song today, which is probably the least, I think, least we've played all year here at the show, the Caleb Shandley show. They keep trying to rename my show. They try to rename it to the Caleb Shandley Theory, which I really don't support. I kind of want to just call it the Caleb Shandley Show. It's nice and simple and kind of has some alliteration going on. Let's see. What should I talk about for the last 3 minutes? What do we got? No, I'm not gonna talk about that. He wants me to talk about Charlie Kirk. I mean, like, what do you want me to say? Like,
getting political again.
We've gotten pretty political.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any like interesting things to say about Charlie Kirk, I don't think. So, I mean, that's why I won't say it. It's not
that's
like
it.
Hiding anything.
That's it.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback. Great show, really funny, interesting thoughts. That's the goal. We want to spark debate, get people thinking. The whole thing. Yeah. The song. What song? Let's see. So we got... It's Monday morning now. We got 24 hours until it's Tuesday morning, and then we got... I'm really just kind of rambling here. And then we got another, like, I don't know, 20 hours.
4 days till Thanksgiving. Or 3 days.
Till it's vacation. I don't know how it works at other schools, but at least for us. I'm not going to play that song. I don't know what that means. Charlie Kirk song. I don't want to play that. I don't think that's appropriate for those who are listening. What do we see? What is this here? I'm going to read this. Oh, no, this is just instructions to fix things when they're broken. And I just want to end the show by listing my favorite... No.
Go for it.
I kind of lost my train of thought there. We got 2 minutes left. Kind of tired.
Yeah, we're all tired.
We gotta go.
What's been your highlight from this last week?
Ooh, good question. Probably going home was good.
Nice.
That was good. Also,
Friday night.
Yeah, time with friends is always great.
Yeah, this is fun. This is always fun.
This is also part of our highlight.
This is definitely part of the highlight.
I agree. I look forward to this. Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah, thank you to all the listeners. Thank you guys both for coming on, of course. I think that pretty much encapsulates the highlights of my week. That was a good week. Busy, but that's good, right?
Yeah.
Get back to the dorm. Go to sleep, wake up, got discrete math, great class, great class they got going on there. Yeah, and it's just about 2 a.m., so I think usually I ended off on a song, but it's kind of too late for that now, so I hopefully everybody has a good all night, and we'll see you next week. Yep. Well, yeah, I'll be back next weekend, so I'll see you all next